Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. We have a ton of UBI news today, just what you like to hear, right? But before dessert, we have to get through dinner. Let's eat. Continuing the conversation from yesterday on mail-in voting and the post office, an article came out today which walks through how the Republican Party has been co-opted by the Koch brothers to privatize mail delivery for profit. The TLDR is that James Miller, an apostle of the Koch brothers and unabashed advocate for privatizing the Postal Service, was eventually confirmed as a member of the Postal Service's Board of Governors in 2003 by a committee chaired by Republican Senator Susan Collins. Because, you know, putting people in charge of government who want to destroy government is what we do nowadays. Just 3 years later, Miller pushed Collins to support legislation that forced the USPS to pre-fund benefits for its employees 75 years into the future, allocating funds for employees who aren't even born yet. This added $5 billion in expenses annually, taking the USPS from annual profits of $1 billion to losses. The Postal Accountability and Enforcement Act of 2006 also prevented the USPS from raising stamp prices, so they could not counteract the budget shortfall, thus completely shackling the USPS so that Republicans could call it a failing business that should be replaced by their donor companies, UPS and FedEx. This has nothing to do with the USPS itself. This has to do with a corrupt government kleptocracy picking winners and losers, i.e. the antithesis of free market. If anyone tries to tell you that the USPS is a failed business and that it's due to incompetence of those managing it, point them to this article. In a new CNN article, Dakin Andone details the economic food crisis we find ourselves in which nearly 30 million Americans told the Census Bureau they didn't have enough to eat last week, the highest number since the census started tracking this information in early May. Meanwhile, the Senate took a three-day weekend break on negotiating the next stimulus bill, which Republicans still want to constrain to under $1 trillion. Wouldn't want them to be overworked while trying to work over the American people. Freaking disgusting. Scott pointed out a particularly relevant detail from the recent article on UBI helping Americans escape poverty. It was that the woman in the story who normally has to go to work when sick could afford to stay home when she had strep throat because she was getting $1,000 a month UBI. Scott also reminds us that presenteeism is estimated to cost U.S. employers $234 billion a year in lost productivity from sick workers performing poorly, taking longer to recover, and getting other workers sick, as well as from increased workers' comp payouts for sick workers having a higher incidence of injury, and from increased turnover rate, which costs the employer anywhere from 16 to 200% of the replaced worker's salary. Employees without paid sick leave are more than 30% more likely to use welfare and more likely to visit emergency rooms and to incur higher medical expenses, and that is causally, not correlationally. Those costs come out of welfare tax money, making it an expense of poor management that is being deferred to all of us, much the way the externality of the cost of pollution is also deferred onto taxpayers. Now imagine what presenteeism costs us with COVID. It's costs of the current system like these that are so often overlooked when calculating the cost of a UBI. By mitigating or eliminating wage slavery, UBI would eliminate these costs as well by giving workers the freedom to decide when they are fit to go to work. As an example, multiple schools that have recently reopened had to close back down immediately due to too many students testing positive. But the kids aren't the only problem. In Georgia's Gwinnett County, school staff are being called back for in-person meetings and preparations where there are claims that surfaces are not being decontaminated and masks are not always being worn. It's hard to imagine kids diligently wearing masks all the time when even the adults can't manage it. Already, 260 employees have tested positive. At least 16 schools have had outbreaks, with teachers only having been back for 3 days, according to a local teacher. Personally, I'm not that convinced that in-person instruction will be much more effective than remote When you account for all of the disruption from safety measures and closures from outbreaks, I imagine 50% of a teacher's time will be spent telling kids to stop messing with their masks alone. But it's also not feasible to expect all parents can stay home with their kids for online learning. There seem to be no good answers here. Some enterprising students, I assume, over at Stanford University have put together a pretty sweet map of UBI trials across the world. You can see where they are, click for details, get links to the studies, and even compare details from different trials. My only critique would be that it would be good if the trial effects were shown, rather than having to follow the links to find them. Still, it's a great resource. Check it out. Scott had a great UBI quote I wanted to share out. He said, quote, "UBI doesn't undermine the desire to be productive. It undermines the willingness to be exploited." End quote. Obviously a sentiment that we've gone over many times here, but I think he put it better than I ever have. Scott also linked a great article of his from 2017, which concisely summarizes some of the ways we, as a society, end up paying far more to treat problems that we could have paid far less to prevent, specifically in healthcare and criminal justice, though there are certainly far, far more not included. He summarizes it with a retelling of the old "For Want of a Nail" poem, which he repurposes as such, quote, "For want of a dollar, the bus ride was lost. For want of a bus ride, the job was lost. For want of a job, the paycheck was lost. For want of a paycheck, the housing was lost. For want of housing, the health was lost. For want of health, the lawfulness was lost. For want of lawfulness, social cohesion was lost. For want of social cohesion, democracy was lost. For want of democracy, the nation was lost. And all for the want of a goddamn dollar." End quote. Pretty good, right? Scott Santens, writer, advocate, poet. Aaron Price wrote us an interesting article as well. He makes good arguments about how much of the economy is being consumed by income going to unproductive expenses like overdraft fees, payday lenders, etc. Basically the poverty trap. These services would not exist in an economy where people were financially secure, as they provide nothing of value. In short, we're expending a great deal of human time and effort into maintaining poverty. The solutions? Eliminate poverty and expand opportunity through Fed bank accounts, postal banking, UBI, and baby bonds. He argues that the Fed, in addition to providing a standardized banking service for everyone, free of fees, would also be able to offer services normal banks cannot, such as microloans that are not profitable enough for banks to bother with, but which could save someone on the edge from disaster, just as Scott discussed above, or bailing out Americans quickly and easily in times of national disaster, which we'll also talk more about below, and which we could use, like, right now. Baby bonds would be a saving account that provides every American a lump sum on their 18th birthday, so as to provide everyone a fair start in life, independent of circumstance of birth. And UBI, have you heard of this one? Would, of course, essentially eliminate poverty, boost entrepreneurship, all that good stuff. It's a good article, recommend reading, bookmarking, and sharing. Aaron also pointed out something that I missed a while back, which is that Biden apparently added Fed accounts for all and postal banking to his policy platform back in June. That is awesome. Props to Bernie's team for pushing him on that. What's also awesome is that an article surfaced recently about former Fed officials Simon Potter and Julia Coronado proposing that the Fed develop a program to provide, quote, zero coupon securities, end quote, called recession bonds that would automatically be provided to households upon certain economic triggers like high unemployment or low interest rates. Now, I'm by no means a fluent speaker of financiers, and I could be absolutely wrong about this, but from what I could find looking up the terms, it sounds like they're talking about just giving people money. They also refer to it as an alternative to fiscal stimulus from Congress, which reinforces that interpretation, in which case, they're talking about an automatic bailout for consumers during economic crises that wouldn't involve Congress at all. They're talking about a dream come true. And it gets better. They go on to say, quote, "And you could actually generate real inflation. It could be beneficial for not only avoiding negative rates, but creating a more healthy interest rate market, a more healthy yield curve, end quote. In other words, they're talking about combating deflation by giving money to consumers instead of giving cheap loans to financial institutions. Exactly what we've argued for UBI. This could be a vital stepping stone in getting us there. If the Fed can prove that giving money directly to consumers works better for the economy than giving it to banks, and people see the benefit of getting straight cash from the Fed, it would make the argument for doing that on a regular basis much stronger, especially since the Fed needs to combat deflation all the time, not just during crises. We need to get these to a megaphone, gang. More good news. Pittsburgh's mayor, Bill Peduto, has announced he is joining the Mayors for AGI and will conduct a $500 UBI trial in his city. It is growing fast, gang. Might be a race to see who passes UBI first, Congress or half the cities in America. Yang made an appearance on Al Franken's podcast to talk about all things current and Yang. I never knew Al was so funny. Might have to listen to more episodes. Yang also had a great conversation with Anand on Yang Speaks, where Yang convinced him of the merits of UBI in real time. Specifically, Anand saw UBI as just money and conceding to a future of no jobs. Yang convinced him that UBI would empower people, both economically and democratically. He certainly could have said more about wage slavery, but I'm fairly certain Yang consciously avoids that discussion. But the most interesting part of the conversation to me was when they discussed how incredibly crappy Democrats are at marketing their ideas and how good Republicans are at it. As Anand said, quote, "Republicans have learned to sell policies benefiting 1% of the people to 51% of the people. Democrats often struggle to sell a majority on policies helpful to 90%, end quote. Ironically, I think Yang has the framing to market his policies to Republicans, but not so much to progressives or even moderate Democrats, which didn't go so well in the primary. Personally, I think he needs to lean into language around freedom, one, because that is what UBI is really about, and two, because that's something everyone can agree on. At least, I hope so. Sometimes I wonder about so-called progressives on that point, who often seem to want to keep people in wage slavery, just more comfortably so. For that matter, a lot of Republicans seem to revere wage slavery, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe neither side actually believes in freedom. Finally, GiveDirectly announced that they have reached their Project 100 goal of providing cash relief to 100,000 families. The good news is, they're not stopping there. They received another $10 million from the Schusterman Foundation, and they will be continuing the program, now called Project 100 Plus. It will never be enough to fill the gap that Congress continues to leave, but I salute these organizations in doing what they can. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Read, bookmark, and share the presenteeism info, Scott's article and quote, Aaron's article, Biden's Fed banking policy, the Fed bailout article, Pittsburgh joining mayors for AGI, the UBI trial map, help recruit other organizations to the cause and get everyone to sign the UBI petitions, flood Congress and Trump with calls, tweets, and letters using the ResistBot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need financial help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, United Way, or the H3 podcast thread. And don't forget to Yang Daily.